So I'm so happy that I get a chance to introduce our guest speaker today. Reverend Sharon Hudson has long been a mover and shaker in the religious science community of San Diego. And recently, she took a position that now allows her to share that joy and passion with the entire world. So we're very honored to have her today. So a little bit of background. She's been a minister for 30 years. She was the founding minister of Light of Life Church and ran that for 10 years. And I just learned that she has also worked in chaplaincy at Children's Hospital here and a local hospice, so she's dear to my heart on that, of course. For many years, she was the regional support coordinator for our area, basically our support person. And she brought a lot of support to us. Thank you. She's also served on many CSL committees and councils. But recently, she stepped up big time. 3 months ago, she was elected to be field leader for Centers for Spiritual Living. So what does that mean? Well, basically, the field leader is the vital connection between at the operations side of CSL, you know, home office, headquarters, and the field side, which is, of course, us, as well as all the centers around the world. So she is that critical link between the two. And so here's just some of the things that she has responsibility over. The ecclesiastical leadership and oversight of everything from licensing and credentialing, ethics, affiliation, regional support, constituent representation, education, and the list just goes on. It's a very big job, and only a force such as Sharon can really do it. Nice. So she's a magnificent light to this world, a woman of great insight, compassion, high consciousness. And we are just so blessed to have her here today. So please join me in welcoming Reverend Sharon Hudson.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. I love you, Vision. I love you. It's been a joy all these years to watch you grow and evolve and support you through many, many things. And thanks to you. To those of you who may be here for the first time and don't have a clue what I'm talking about, it's all good. So today, first of all, I just want to say how beautiful you are. How beautiful you are. And just take you in for a moment. And how amazing you are. And how powerful you are. Because the force is with you, right? Yes, the force is always with you. So a rabbi was walking along in the dark. Late at night, just walking along, deep in thought. And suddenly he came to a very high wall, and he looked up, and there was a guard in a turret. And suddenly this voice yells down, "Who are you, and what are you doing there?" Rabbi didn't say a word. "Who are you, and what are you doing there?" Still, the rabbi remained silent. Finally, the guard, a little frustrated, yelled, "Who are you and what are you doing there? How much do they pay you to do that?" 10 shillings. "I will pay you twice that if you will come to my house every day and ask me those two questions." So who are you and what are you doing here? Who am I? What am I doing here? The whole point today is that we are divine. We are one in the one. And you know this idea that we are just an outpicturing of the divine, a unique expression of the divine, has been with us down through the ages. 3,300 years ago, probably more than that now, Akhenaten, king of Egypt, in 1379 BC, before Jesus, before Christ, before the Common Era, it's what it's really called today, you know, said, quote, "God is one and humankind is one in that one. God is one, and humankind is one in that one. This concept that the divine is through all of life, that we are simply a part of that, has been around, you know, forever and ever. Plotinus, the Greek philosopher, said, each being contains in itself the whole intelligible world within you and me, the whole intelligible world, right there, present. Therefore, all is everywhere. Okay, we are everywhere. All is everywhere. Each is all, and all is each. Okay, did you get that? Each is all, and all is each. Okay, wait, did that make it better? Good. Ernest Holmes says, you belong to the universe in which you live. You are one with the creative genius back of this vast array of ceaseless motion and this original flow of life. There is something in you telling you this. So today, it's really about when we really know our divinity, a difference it makes in our lives. We're the calm in the midst of chaos. We feel safe wherever we are. We are a healing presence to those around us. Come light your candle. Take it to where it's needed. Take it into the darkness and let that shine. When you know your divinity, you can't help but do that. And your world just unfolds in amazing ways. So powerful. So today, let's just walk out here. My goal is to walk out here just remembering and living from that space of, you know what, I'm not saying to you, may the force be with you. That's my favorite phrase, of course. The Jedi Knights knew the force was with them. It was just a nice thing to say to each other, but really the force be with you is an affirmative statement that is already true. It's an affirmative statement. So the force is with us, as always. Here's the thing about God. Sometimes we think about the divine within like it's something a little bit separate, right? Eric Butterworth says this. I love this. He says, God is not like the raisin in the bun. So the God in me is not this little piece of me that's holy. He says, but it's like the ocean is in the wave. So if you look at the wave, it's nothing more than the ocean formed into that wave. The divine is each of us formed into our uniqueness. I think that's a powerful way to look at it. To try to really sense into that, I think taking time, and you know, I hate the word spiritual practice, but it's just always coming up, isn't it? Because I don't like to have to do anything. I don't want to have to practice. But instead, the invitation is a spiritual connection. The invitation is to take time away from the busyness of the world and really feel that divine presence. Really, Rabbi Michael Lerner says this in his book, Spirit Matters. He says, here's a practice you might try. And he suggests you do this every night for 3 weeks. Okay, so I want to say it twice probably because it's so good, so profound. Try to imagine yourself as one of the manifestations of the consciousness of the universe and as part of the totality of all things, a momentary explosion of God energy and a momentary embodiment of the spiritual energy of the universe and a force of healing and transformation. I'm going to say it one more time because I want you to just feel it. Like, get this. Imagine this for yourself right now. Try to imagine yourself as one of the manifestations of the consciousness of the universe and as part of the totality of all things. A momentary explosion of God energy. A momentary embodiment of the spiritual energy of the universe and the force of healing and transformation. He says, do this every night for 3 weeks in a row, and all the time tell yourself, I am part of the consciousness of the universe, a manifestation of the unity of all being. Whenever your attention wanders, just bring it back to that sense, that feeling. You know, your words, a sense into that. He promises you that as you begin to quiet your mind down, if you can spend 15 minutes doing this, every night for 3 weeks, you will have a spiritual experience. You will truly know and feel and live from that place of your own divinity, your own divine wholeness. And it's glorious when you do that. Now, when you're out in the world, some little tips. One of them is quit trying to be perfect. Anybody a recovering perfectionist? You don't really have to raise your hand, but I definitely am. Stop judging yourself. Do not feel guilty about anything. If there's anything that comes into your mind where you feel like, dang, I shouldn't have, just go, okay, I learned my lesson, I'm done with that. Guilt and judgment about yourself or others does not move you into that place of knowing your divinity. So stop judging, and in fact, fail bravely. Just go out and make a bunch of mistakes. I want you to live life full out. I want you to feel the glory of your own beingness. The universe is a cosmic problem solver. When we make a mistake, it's just saying, okay, that doesn't work, go this way now. So you've got to be gentle on yourself and accept anything that isn't perfect, because perfection is not what life is about. Life is a great adventure. Let's enthusiastically step forward into life. This comes from Bruce Sangwin. I love this. He says, our intention is to soften the internal and external voices of judgment that limit our creative expression, our leaning into a preferred future. When we're in judgment, when we're feeling negative or bad about ourselves or anyone else, do you think we are being the divine presence in the world? No, we're closing down. We can't express and be the life and the light and the healing presence that we truly are. That's the limiting thing. So we're done with that, right? Embracing failure is a practice that liberates the ecstatic urge for adventure. This is Bruce Sangwin again. Adventure, surprise, and to co-create the future. So get excited when you fail. I want you to know my dad had three businesses, and he failed in three, maybe four, I don't know. But he was successful because he just kept going out and doing new things as an entrepreneur. That's the way to do it. He's 101 years old, by the way. He just turned 101 on May 1st. Still has his driver's license. It's good till he's 103. Lives in Montana. They probably wouldn't do that here in California. But So Michael Jackson says, Michael Jordan, different Michael, sorry. Oh, Lord, the force be with me. Let's do this right. Michael Jordan says, I have missed 9,000 shots in my career. I have lost almost 300 games. On 26 occasions, I've been entrusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. I have failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. Yeah, you're here, Michael Jordan. Got to keep going. And Abraham Lincoln, I love this. He says, success is going from failure to failure without losing your enthusiasm. So just, you know, get out there and be yourself. Be a little crazy. Be a little wild. I'm talking to myself because I used to be very conservative, but I'm working on this exciting thing here. So if there's a place in your life where you're holding back or you feel like you might have made a mistake or been a failure, can you just let that go right now and just move forward freely? Okay, so the second thing about living as... Okay, I'm missing something good over there. I'm going to talk to y'all afterwards, you music people. So the second thing that happens when you really know your own divinity is my favorite thing. It's love. Love. When we know, we can't help but feel love, not only for others, but an abounding love that's encompassing all of life, and most especially a love for self. Love herself. You know, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, Jesus says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God, which really means, you know, the kingdom of God is within. That's what he was teaching. Everyone who loves is feeling and expressing and living from that kingdom, which is our true nature. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. We are love. It is our nature to love and to be loved. It is why we are here. If we do nothing else but love, we touch the world in amazing ways, and we have served the highest purpose we could possibly have. Here, here, yes, yes. Love, let's love. And here's the thing that happens, too. When I became a minister, and it wasn't 30 years ago, dang, I wish it was, but it was 23 years ago, my vision was to see through the eyes of love, to see through the eyes of love. Which is to see through the eyes of God, which means that no matter what's happening in the world, I know something better is there. I see a higher truth. I stand in faith. I went to a wonderful retreat when I was in school ministry, and we were invited to do a lot of meditation, a lot of silence, to ask and discover our purpose. Like, you know, world peace. It's supposed to be something very simple. And here was the one that came to me very clearly. In huge ways, it was simply three words. To know oneness. To know oneness. Sometime after that, I was following some people at a Sillamar up a path, and these women were kind of gossiping, and I was starting to feel myself in judgment of them. And I swear to you, the hand of God came down and whacked me upside the head and said, Sharon, if you're going to be a minister, you're going to have to love everyone. You're going to have to see through that. So that to know oneness has stayed in my heart and is still my highest purpose. And I try to come from that at all times. You know, I still give myself the freedom to be who I am and learn my lessons because I'm still learning a few. So when you know the force is with you, the third thing is you have the power to create. You have the power to create and you know it. You have confidence. When we have a desire and we begin to pray for something, our prayer is to start to know God is all there is. I am one with God. The simple things I've been talking about right here, right? And then we simply move into feeling as if we're already on the other side of it, as if whatever it is already healed, as if we already have the perfect relationship, as if we have the most wonderful way of expressing in the world and being well rewarded financially and in every way, deeply appreciated. So we move into that place of feeling that, like, how do we feel when we're there? We embody that experience. It cannot help but be manifested in your life. Children often know their own divinity. They often have great faith. So I have to tell you about this pastor, true story. This pastor had a kitten go up a tree and was mewing and mewing, and he was trying to coax it down, offering milk, but kittens aren't that smart. And it just wouldn't come down. It kept crying and crying. And it was too small for him to climb. It was a young tree, but very tall. So he decided he would hook his car up to it with a rope and just pull it slowly over until he could reach the kitten. And he kept adjusting slightly, and he thought, one more, and I'll be able to reach it one more time. And so he went forward, and the rope snapped, and boing! Kitten went flying. He felt so bad. So he walked all over the neighborhood, asked everyone, have you seen a kitten? Have you seen a kitten? And finally, he just prayed, you know, God, I put this kitten in your hands. You know, I didn't know what else to do, and he kind of let it go. About 3 days later, he's shopping in the grocery store. And there's a woman from his church that he knew did not like cats at all, and she had cat food in her basket. He couldn't help but notice. So he said, I'm curious to know why you have cat food in your basket. She said, you're not going to believe what happened. My daughter's been begging me for a kitten for ages, and I always say no. And so the last time she asked me, I said, if God gives you a kitten, you can have it. You know where this is going. She said, I watched her with my own eyes. She went out in the front yard and kneeled down and started to pray. And I swear to you, out of the blue sky came this kitten, landed on its all 4 feet right in front of her. See, the cool thing about the power of prayer and faith is we don't have to figure out how, right? You couldn't have made that up if you tried. So you just have to know the what. What do I want? I want a kitten. By golly, God is going to give me a kitten. Yes? It's really true. It's so true. So true. So I'll tell you one more story. I had a problem. I will start with saying there was a period in my life not too long ago when I was in my lazy butt period. My sister is here today, Dawn Heller. She's fabulous. And she can attest to this. My niece, too, her daughter. My husband is an athlete. He's also quite a bit younger than me. It's a wonderful thing. We've been together 30 years, so he was the answer to Science of Mind 2 prayers. My pod group in my Science of Mind class prayed for me to meet my perfect partner for life, and he is. So, you know, he wants me to be active and out there, and I think, you know, sometimes we need a good excuse not to. So what I manifested was no cartilage in my big toe. Very, very painful. Finally went to a podiatrist. My husband came with me for proof, right? The bones, bone on bone, very painful bone on bone. So when you bend your big toe, it really hurt. And I had a little bone spur. And so the suggestion from the doctor was take first of all, fuse the bones, then your toe won't bend. Foot surgery did not sound good to me. The other option was surgical also. Take a piece of my skin for my hip and put it between the bones. That would last 3 to 5 years. And I'm thinking, those don't sound good. So I didn't do anything at that time. And this idea came to me that maybe I should pray for my toe. And I want you to know I walked because I'm an usher at the Old Globe, and Dawn will tell you, she's the usher captain, that we have a long way to walk from parking to the Old Globe at Balboa Park. And so I would walk slowly, and I try not to bend my toes. And, you know, this is about how fast I could walk comfortably. In fact, I just went to her house this week to usher. It was the right toe that hurt the most, so I tried to keep it really flat. And sometimes if I wanted to go fast, you know, I could do flat foot. So I decided to pray for myself. We have the most amazing philosophy. It is powerful. Now, I could have said to myself, and I did for a while, you know, I'm getting older, it's probably just going to get worse. There'll probably come a time, you know, there'll probably come a time when I'll have to have that surgery. But I didn't do that. Well, I did for a while. And here's what happened. I kind of let it go. I prayed for it, and I let it go. And in meditation one day, I got such a powerful message that my body needed to move. It needed to walk. So I said to my husband, I got this message in my meditation. I'm always telling him things like this. And I said, I need to walk. And he said, honey, I'm with you. He was going out 5 miles around Lake Poway, you know, frequently. And I couldn't do that. He says, let's go to this park. It's a third of a mile around this nice level track. It's kind of a soft track. I'll walk with you. So we went. And my feet hurt like crazy. We could go about halfway around the track and then just hobble back. I'd be in pain, really bad pain. But we kept going. We kept going. Maybe 3 times a week, something like that. And slowly but surely, an amazing thing happened. I could walk farther and farther. It hurt when I first started to walk. And then the pain would go away. Pretty soon, I walked 2 miles. I was like stunned. So I want you to know, this is not a great stage for demonstrating how wonderfully I can walk. I kind of want to get down there and run for you, but I'm not going to do that. Today, I can walk like this. I'm bending my toes. There is no pain, not a bit of pain, not a bit of pain. I have no idea if, you know, the cartilage grew back or what, or if the nurse just died. I don't really know, but it doesn't matter, does it? This is the power we have. This is the power of prayer. So, when we walk out of here today, when I walk out of here today, I'm walking out as the shining light. I'm going to let my light shine. I'm seeing through the eyes of God. Everything that happens, I know there's a higher power working through it. Even what looks like chaos is going to bring good. I'm living my life fully with no guilt, no judgment. We're done with that, right? And I don't have to be a perfectionist anymore. And I'm the presence of love. I can tune into the wisdom of God for guidance. I was guided to start walking. I want you to know when I started walking, my body loved it. My feet did not, but my body needed to move. It said, yes, I can take walks now out at Lake Poway with no pain. You have this right there for you as well. So we have the power to create our heart's desire. I'm going to end with something from Christian Larson. Promise yourself. You've heard this before, but let's just take this in. Promise yourself to be so strong that nothing can disturb your peace of mind. Promise yourself to talk health, happiness, and prosperity to every person you meet. Promise yourself to make all your friends feel that there is something worthwhile in them. To look at the sunny side of everything and make your optimism come true. Promise yourself to think only of the best, to work only for the best, and to expect only the best. Promise yourself to be just as enthusiastic about the success of others as you are about your own. And you should love what you do. You gotta love it. My minister, Brian Anderson, said he'd go home and listen to his talks, and he loved them. So whatever you create, love it. Promise yourself to forget the mistakes of the past and to press on to the greater achievements of the future. Promise yourself to wear a cheerful expression at all times and give a smile to every living creature you meet. You know, when you smile, in fact, when you see a smile, even if you don't smile back, the neuropeptides in your body, the immune system, is boosted just from seeing someone smile. My job is to smile all over the world. Promise yourself to give yourself to give so much time to improving yourself that you have no time to criticize others. I could do that. Promise yourself to be too large for worry, too noble for anger, too strong for fear, and too happy to permit the presence of trouble. Promise yourself to think well of yourself and to proclaim this fact to the world, not in loud word, but in good deed. And promise yourself to live in the faith that the whole world is on your side so long as you are true to the best that is in you. You are the power. The force is in you. The force is you. Let's just turn within for a moment. Love to end with a little affirming prayer, just knowing that right here, right now, is that power, that presence, that unique divine expression flowing through each of us in this room. That we are the presence of love. That we let go of what has been and open our minds to the possibility of what our heart desires, knowing that it is easy to have that, that we are all-powerful, all-knowing, guided in everything we do, that our way is well-lit and it is made easy, that our hearts are full. I take a moment to just be grateful, knowing that what is spoken here is already true for each of us, for all, and for the world. And so I can let go and let the divine wisdom and power handle all the details, stepping forward in life, fully uplifted in knowing that I am the divine presence. I am the voice, I am the hands, I am the heart of spirit on earth. And so it is. Amen. Praise God.